This is Digital Story Podcast number 660, November 6, 2018. Today's theme is How to Manage Holiday Sales Temptation. I'm Derek Story. We're entering that time of year when retailers dangle tempting deals before our eyes in the hopes that we'll make a big ticket purchase. More often than not, these items are a bit past their prime, but still quite serviceable. So what's the best strategy for evaluating what is a great deal and a perfect fit, as opposed to a mere impulse buy? I'll share my surefire approach on today's TDS Photography Podcast. So I've already had to fight off my first impulse of the buying season, and it really required some discipline to do so. It just happened. Some of you may have seen this offer yourself. So B&H Photo is offering the Sony Alpha A7 II mirrorless digital camera with 28-70mm Sony lens deluxe kit for $998. I go $998 for a full-frame Sony with a Sony zoom and more goodies on top of that. So this kit included the full-frame Sony, a Sony 28-70mm zoom, a spare battery, a charger, and the charger is important because the A7 II comes with a cable for charging in camera, but it doesn't come with a separate battery charger. And a SanDisk, I believe, 64GB memory card. All of that for less than a grand. So if you buy the camera alone with no lens or accessories, just the camera, just the body, none of the other stuff. In fact, if you do it on B&H right now, you just click buy body only, it's $1,400 just for the body, let alone the lens, the memory card, the battery, all that stuff. So you could see why my pulse started racing. I mean, I saw this thing, you know, in the morning. I remember I get up early in the morning because I'm on the West Coast. So I have to publish early because the whole world, well, I mean, the other side of the nation anyway, is 3 hours ahead of me, and Europe is like 8 hours ahead of me. So, I mean, I can't wait till 9 a.m. to start publishing. So I get up early. I get up a little after 5. I do my walk, and then I start, you know, getting to it right away. So I was, you know, trying to do my other stuff, and I ran across this deal on B&H. It's also on Amazon, too. But the B&H deal is even better. And I was going, oh, my God, I just want to hit the button right now. You know what I mean? You know that feeling where you go, I don't want this to slip away. And I wasn't really parsing, you know, why I wanted it. I just knew it was a great deal. I know that the Sony Alphas are terrific cameras. There's that full frame sensor, which, you know, generally I don't care about, but I was thinking, boy, there might be some instances where the full frame would come in handy and all that kind of stuff. All that kind of stuff was racing through my head. And then the thing that kept sticking in my brain was $998, which is so smart. So much better than $999 or even $1,000, right? $998. I could do that, $998. So this was the first big temptation of the season. And we know that as we come into the holiday season as photographers, that these sorts of deals begin to roll out. And if we're not careful, we can end up with a bunch of gear that is really exciting when we purchase it. But then after we actually receive it and we start to try to fit it into our workflow and with our other tools and so forth, sort of go, I'm not sure I really needed that. And then, you know, then there's buyer's remorse, right? And we don't want buyer's remorse. And in our world, buyer's remorse can be very expensive. I mean, $998 is a low amount for buyer's remorse, right? It can be even higher. And I don't think many of us want $998 even as buyer's remorse. So how do I combat this? How do I resist, you know, purchasing these deals? Because there's going to be more. All through November and into December, we are going to see these sorts of deals. Well, I have a 5-step process, as you can imagine, 5 steps that helped me work through this process. Now, the steps themselves are very important, and I'm going to go over those steps in just a moment. But just as important as the steps themselves is the fact that they slow me down a bit. They do, much in the way that I like shooting film sometimes because it slows me down a bit. Now, I don't have a slow me down a bit for the podcast, so you're just going to have to live with me being the way I am here. But when it comes to impulse buying and things like that, these five steps help slow me down, help me be a little bit more methodical about the process, and hopefully come out to the right decision. Alrighty, so let's see what those five steps are. Well, the first one's probably not going to surprise you, which is learn more about the camera. Yes, we have that wonderful description that B&H or Amazon puts right there, and they have all the highlights, and you know they have the copy written by the manufacturer, and there's you know even some user reviews there we can look at. But really, if possible, also try to find a few reviews. DP review, imaging resource, have I talked about it? You know, any of that kind of stuff. And that's really helpful. Again, not only do you get more information, but it helps you change gears from more of an emotional response to more of an analytical approach. Alrighty. So learn more about the camera. So I pulled up a few reviews of the Alpha A7 II. And first of all, it's not one of Sony's best low light performers. And I'm going, that's interesting, because really what I was thinking is having, you know, this high ISO full frame camera that I could use in certain situations for night photography, low light photography, stuff like that. And it's not actually one of the better low light performers, even compared to models by Nikon and Canon. So right away, that was very sobering because I was assuming that it would be. That was the rep for, you know, Sony cameras. Also, I was a little surprised to realize that it was released in 2015. That means it was probably developed in 2014. And, you know, that's a little ways ago. It is. Now, there has been a few firmware updates since then, and that's good. And those firmware updates are great. They really, you know, help extend the life of a camera. And 2015 itself is not a curse by any means. Cameras made in 2015 are more than serviceable right now, right? They can be excellent. However, buying a new camera that was released in 2015, that's kind of another matter, right? And it's something to really think about. Now, if the price is low enough, it's a good deal, okay? If all the other factors, you know, fall into place. As I started thinking about this, as I was reading the reviews, that if I were to go full frame, I would want to shoot high ISOs. And really, that 24 megapixel sensor doesn't give me a whole lot more than I already have with my other cameras. So step number one right away kind of got me thinking more analytically and less emotionally. And that was good. I started to feel a little bit more sober after reading the reviews. All right, so that's step one. Learn about the camera. Now, step two on these sort of bundle deals is learn about the lens too, right? So is that 28 to 70 millimeter lens an optic that I would normally buy? Again, after some research, just researching the lens itself, not looking at the bundle and all that, just the lens itself, many users felt that it was a little soft in the corners. And if you buy it by itself, it's about $400. It's somewhere in between a kit lens and a lens that you would buy outside of a kit, somewhere in there. But for $400, you know, it should be well made, and it should be pretty darn sharp. It's not stretching that far, 28 to 70. That's not tough for lens manufacturers these days. It's also a tad bulky. It was kind of big. And, you know, I'm a nimble photographer. I like lenses that are a bit more compact. I'm willing to trade off a little maximum aperture for a little bit more compactness, but this one had neither. It was neither compact, and the maximum aperture is f3.5 to 5.6. So it's not fast and it's not small, and it has generally good performance, but some people complained about the corner sharpness. And so then I'm going, well, I mean, how much am I really going to like this lens? It's going to be the only Sony lens I have. And am I going to be happy with that? I was thinking, well, I'd rather have like a compact, sharp, fast prime lens. You know, that's more my thing. And so I went to the bundle there, and it looks like there was a 50 millimeter or something, a fast one that I could have instead of that zoom. But then the price went up to like $1,900, right? So now I'm buying a 2015 camera for close to $2,000 just because I'm not that crazy about the zoom lens that came with the cheaper one. That 28-70, that was really quite sobering, knowing that I was going to have to live with that. Now, the one thing that I was thinking while I was trying to rationalize this purchase to myself, you know, the good angel and the bad devil on, you know, each shoulder there, was that I would get an adapter. I mean, Sony cameras are great with adapting other lenses because it does have, the A7 II does have 5-axis image stabilization built into the body. So, you know, I could use my Zeiss lenses on there. I could use my Pentax lenses on there, you know, my manually focused lenses. So I was going, you know, I could get a couple of adapters, use that, IS and be in great shape. But I could do that with the cameras I have right now too. So anyway, the lens, really studying the lens separately and not part of the bundle, that was an important moment for me. Okay, number three, how would I use it exactly? And this is a question that's so important because, you know, most of us that are part of this photography community, we have kits already. You know, so I have kits for travel, and I have kits for commercial work, so on and so forth. So where would this fit in? Well, it wouldn't be for commercial shoots because I don't have any glass besides that zoom that suddenly I'm not that excited about. So I couldn't use it for commercial work. It's too big and heavy for travel photography. And, you know, the A7 II is a pretty substantial camera. I would say it's closer to a DSLR than it is a mirrorless, or at least the kind of mirrorless that I normally shoot with. And that lens, of course, really protrudes out, that 28-70. So it would be too big for travel photography. It has a loud shutter. A lot of people really commented on how loud the shutter is. So that would be too loud for street photography. And I'm running out of types of photography that I do. I couldn't use it for that low light night photography because I'm not really gaining anything, because that sensor isn't really Sony's best sensor for that kind of work. It doesn't really fill a gap in my equipment arsenal. So then it just becomes a toy. And this is, I think, such an important point. I'm not saying that it's not all right to buy toys just for the fact that we want to have it and play with it and learn about it and all that kind of stuff. That is fine. As long as you don't kid yourself that you're actually going to be using it for some sort of work or some sort of fine art or some sort of something that's important. I think you have to say to yourself, look, I've done the analysis on this. It doesn't fit. It doesn't add anything to my current kit. I want it just because I want it, and I'm just going to play with it. And if you come out and say that and say, you know, that's my thing, then that's all right. But don't fool yourself that you're going to use it for commercial work if you're not, or for travel if it's too big, or for street photography if it's too loud. Okay, you just have to be honest with yourself about that, because that's what leads to disappointment. That's when you go, you know, I thought I could use it for this, and it's terrible. My Pen F is so much better for street photography. So how would I use it exactly? That's a very important step in this process. All right, number four, do I have $1,000 to burn? Boy, you know, when you say it out loud, right? You know, when you're thinking it in your brain, when you want to push the button, that's one thing. But when you say it out loud, do I have $1,000 to burn? Well, now that you mentioned it, I don't. I mean, if I were purchasing an item that I could generate more work with or better art, yes, I could afford a grand as a business investment. And that's what it'd be on the books, a business investment. I bought this, I'll amortize it out over 3 years. I'm using it for this, this, and this, and I'll get some sort of return on it. But if it's not that, then do I have that kind of money to spend on a whim? That's taking $1,000 and saying, or I'm just going to go do this crazy thing in Las Vegas, or I'm just going to, you know, just going to buy, you know, a bunch of crazy clothes. I mean, it sort of falls into that category then. So then you really have to go, okay, yes, most of us could figure out a way to invest $1,000, either by borrowing, putting it on a credit card, pulling it out of savings, or for the lucky ones, just taking it out of, you know, normal cash, right? But even then, you know, you have to ask yourself, but do I want to burn $1,000? Do I, you know, can I afford just to say, hey, this is just a toy, I'm just going to play with it, and I'm going to spend a grand on it? So you have to ask that question. If you can't find a place for it to fit legitimately, then you have to acknowledge that you're spending a grand on a toy. And finally, number five, would I regret my purchase after the thrill is gone? Ah, regrets. Aren't they the great things in life? Oh, I could talk about things. I'm not, though. We'll stick to cameras. Most likely, in this case, for me, with this camera, the answer would be yes. I would regret my decision after the thrill is gone. I would be excited when I first got it. It would be fun to, you know, shoot the first 50 frames with it. You know, all that kind of stuff. That would be good. But then, as it began to just sit on the shelf more and more and more, I would start feeling worse and worse and worse about this investment. And it's funny, I just went through this process not that long ago with the Fujifilm XF10. And this is a camera that I went through this very process that we're doing right now. Plus, I had it on loan from B&H, so I got to shoot with it and use it and then think about it and then go back through this process and did the whole thing. And at the end of all of that analysis, because emotionally I wanted that camera, but it had to work on this other side as well, on, you know, the analytical side. And after I went through all that on the analytical side, it worked for me too. So I went ahead and pulled the trigger and I bought it. And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. So it was a $499 camera. So it was half the price of this rig anyway to begin with. And then I used my $250 Canon rebate card to pay for half the camera. So then my out-of-pocket was only $250. So that sort of helped too, I have to say. And it felt really good to put, you know, that was for the Canon printer that I bought. It felt really good to put that rebate card to work for, you know, a real photographic tool and not just spend, you know, like it here and there on cat food and utensils and things like that. So that part of it was good. So now, 2 weeks later, after I've actually made the purchase, I've had the camera for some time, but after I walked up the aisle and said, I do, I'm still happy with it. In fact, I'm more thrilled than ever with it. So, you know, that's a case where I went through the process, I went ahead and did it, and I feel great about it. I don't think that would be the case with the Sony. So here's the bottom line on all of this. Don't get caught off guard. Don't get caught off guard. Build your vetting process now so that when these super tempting offers appear before your eyes, you'll have a system to determine if it's the right bargain for you. You know, read the reviews on both, you know, the body and the lens or whatever the components happen to be. Think about how you use it exactly. Think about the investment and do you have that kind of money to spend if it doesn't work out? And then think about, am I going to regret this up the road? Go through that process. It'll slow you down. And I think you'll make much better decisions this holiday spending season if you put yourself through something like this before you push the buy button. The Portfolio Box Inspirational Photographer. I got to thinking about some of the great portfolio box photographers out there. And I'm not just talking about us in our community. I'm talking about outside our community and how they could inspire us both artistically, but also in terms of their presentation online. So I started digging around with this. And by the way, Portfolio Box is sponsoring for this month for November, and they're really great to have, you know, them on board again. They never were off board, believe me. I love these guys. So I started digging around, and I decided what I'm going to do is that each week for the month of November, I'm going to feature an inspirational photographer who uses Portfolio Box or his or her platform for presenting their work. And I thought this can work on a couple different levels for us. You know, we can enjoy some really interesting photography, and we can see how these great photographers present their work using Portfolio Box, which I just think is a fantastic online platform. I just love it. So this week I want to point you to Raphael Heyman. So Raphael, R-A-P-H-A-E-L, Heyman, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N. And I got a link to his site in the show notes. So you can just go there. Just go to show notes, click on the link. When you get to his site, the first thing that you're going to notice is that his still lifes, they're just incredible. They're true works of art. He does all sorts of things. He does very interesting product photography, the most interesting product photography that I've seen in a while. And then he does these very creative, you know, still lifes. And the way that he uses Portfolio Box really complements his work. And he's got this very clean, you know, style for all the stuff that he does. And his site is nice and clean and just really shows off his work very well. So I think it's interesting both in terms of artistically being inspirational and then also seeing how he uses Portfolio Box for this work. And this is a big time photographer. I can tell by looking at his stuff. Go over and take a look at it. I think you'll really enjoy what Raphael Heyman is doing. And I also want to encourage you, if you're not already using Portfolio Box, to take a look at it. And the best way to do this is just go over to the Portfolio Box link in the show notes or to the tile that runs all the pages of Digital Story. Click on that and go over to our landing page on Portfolio Box. If you do that, then, you know, if you decide to upgrade to a pro account from a free account, if you go through our page, then you'll save 20%. Now, the price already is only $83 annually, and that means, you know, you get your own custom domain and all sorts of stuff, and you get another 20% off that. Or you could just go free if you want. Either way, it's up to you. But do that and play with it and create an environment. You know, look at what Raphael does and look what, you know, people in our directory. By the way, I have our directory of Portfolio Box photographers also in the show notes, and you can go see what they're doing. Fantastic work. See what they're doing and think about, okay, how would it look if I had just a page or two pages or five pages of my favorite images of the work that I'm really proud of, so that it's not cluttered up with a bunch of other stuff. And I could point people to those pages when they ask, well, I'd like to see some of your work. And then you could just do it and just like not have to explain it or not have to, you know, make excuses for the cruft that's on the edges or any of that kind of stuff. So anyway, click on the tile or click on the link in the show notes. You know, try this out. Take a look what the other photographers are doing. I just think that this is something that's really good for all of us and very important. And I'm so glad that Portfolio Box is sponsoring the show for November, because I enjoy talking about them and I love using their product. Capture One Pro 11.3 and Fujifilm RAW processing. So I talked about this on the site last week. This is one of those things. This was like a hallelujah for me. So I was among the many pleased photographers who exclaimed, finally, when Phase 1 announced their improved Fujifilm RAW support with version 11.3, Capture One Pro 11.3, which is a free update for Capture One Pro users that are using 11. Now, of course, the highlight of this was bringing the Fujifilm GFX50S into the mix, a medium format camera. But there's also a dozen Fujifilm cameras and another half dozen lenses that were included in this new partnership as well. And among them was my humble but truly loved Fujifilm XF10, which I referred to earlier, compact with the APS-C sensor. And I was dying to see how its RAW files were decoded with Capture One Pro, because I love the way Capture One Pro does RAW. And I have to tell you, I was not disappointed. And if the other cameras decode as well as RAW files from my XF10, Fujifilm shooters, you are going to be very happy if you're using Capture One Pro. So I was just really pleased about this. I'm glad that Phase One finally, you know, got it together and started working with Fujifilm. Fujifilm cameras are just terrific. Capture One Pro is terrific, and they just belong together. They really do. And now they are. And I think that Capture One Pro's approach to decoding Fujifilm RAW files is going to make a lot of Fuji photographers happy. If you happen to be someone that uses a Fujifilm camera and you're not satisfied with how your RAW files are looking right now with whatever you're using to decode them, I would consider looking at Capture One Pro now, because they have got it going on with Fujifilm cameras. And I just wanted to put that out there so that you knew about it, because you deserve to have the best decoding possible for your work. Coming next week, the 2019 TDS workshop season. That's right, I'm going to unveil our 2019 season next week. And there's going to be physical workshops. There's going to be online classes. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time in 2019. And by the way, those of you that have the Nimble class for Luminar Library, guess what? Skylum has come out and said mid-December. So you'll be hearing from me very soon about scheduling that class as well. And I'm going to be really thrilled to be doing that with those of you who have signed up. So 2019, I'm going to talk about physical workshops, where we're going to go. And we're going to do some street photography. We're going to do some adventure photography. We're going to do some photography that's a little different, you know, some unique stuff to sort of tempt you. And the reason why that I'm bringing it up on this show is that I want you to start thinking about doing a workshop in 2019. And, I'm still all a Twitter, all a glow from the workshop that we did up at Lake Almanor and Lassen and Bernie Falls, you know, that workshop where it's just hard for me to explain how cool it is to be spending an extended period of time with other photographers who have the same passion that you do. And, you know, we just get to live and breathe what we like to do and just let the rest of the world go away for a bit. And if you haven't experienced this, I think you deserve it. I think you deserve to do this. So think about your calendar. Think about, you know, when you might be able to get away in 2019. Think about your budget. You know, I try to keep these things as affordable as possible. And then think about joining us. So come next week to the podcast, you know, ready to hear about our 2019 season. I'm really excited about it. I think it's coming together beautifully. All right, I have just a few updates for you, Inner Circle members. We're going to continue Photo Critique into November. I think this is really nice. If you're an Inner Circle member, in other words, if you support this podcast through Patreon, then consider sending me one of your photos for Photo Critique. I'll do a critique of it, and then the other folks can jump in also if they wish. Details are on the Patreon site, where you go already to see everything that's going on. The details are there. You know, join in, submit a photo. I've just got a new photo critique in there right now. If you haven't been in there for the last couple of days, take a peek, see what's going on. And it also gives me an opportunity to say thank you for supporting the Digital Story Podcast. We have some new members. Welcome aboard, by the way, new Inner Circle members. I was thrilled to see your names there. And I'm so happy that you feel that this show and this community is important enough for you to support it. B&H and Amazon Tiles are on the Digital Story. And yes, as we go into this crazy, crazy season that I've been talking about today, if you do decide to make a purchase, if you do decide to buy that Sony camera, which is a great deal at $998, if you would go to the digital story first and then click on the B&H tile or click on the Amazon tile, then make your purchase, that really does help out the show. And I appreciate you taking the time to do one extra click to help support this effort. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the people who stand behind this show week in and week out, people who make fantastic inkjet paper, who sell cartridges for Canon and Epson, who have tutorials and reviews. Oh, printing is so much fun, and they make it, I'll say this, and they make it even funner. They make it more fun. Red River Paper also has a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They've been known to give away a few sheets every now and then, so you got to hang out there as well. A big thanks to them for supporting the show. And click on the tile that's on every page of the digital story. Go over to our landing page, explore over there, and make some art. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed my tips. I hope they lead you down the path to making the purchases that are right for you. Come back next week. We're going to talk about workshops for 2019, something that I'm very excited about. Until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.